good afternoon, everybody. Happy New Year and all of that good stuff. We would like to call to order the very first board meeting for the HDBR for the 2021 year. So with that, we'd like to welcome you to the January 13th, 2021 meeting for the Savannah Historic District Board Review. The purpose of this board is to promote the educational, cultural, economic, and general welfare of the city of Savannah. This board is appointed by the city council and is not affiliated with any for-profit and nonprofit organizations. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards established in the city of Savannah zoning ordinance are the basis for evaluating the compatibility of changes in new development. The board cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance. Items such as landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, and impact on property values are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of the certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis for a decision. Okay, so at this time, just for a general housekeeping point, we would like to make sure that everybody leaves their microphones on mute until you are called upon to speak or present, and keep those lines free. So, all right, let's get going. So first item is the sign postings. Members of the board received packages containing applications in the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the project. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were there any projects that were not posted this month?
Nina.
Okay. Did someone say something? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. And let's see. I'm going to take a look at this right quick. All right. 1 second. There we go. These items have been found on the by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. Is there any member of the public or any board member who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda?
Mr. Stevens, this is Leah. Would you just mind reading off the items that are on, on there, please?
Would you? I'm working from a couple of different devices. Would you guys mind slowly scrolling the agenda so I can? I normally have my agenda printed, but I'm not in my usual space. So if you guys would slowly scroll, that would be great. Can we go back to one so I can get that one? Okay. And that's what I was looking for, actually, Leah. I'm going to make that a habit for us to do that. Consent item number one on the consent agenda is the petition of Kevin Hortdorfer Architects. Petition 20-005963-COA at 7 MLK Junior Boulevard, amendments and alterations. Item number two is petition of Omni Technical Services. Petition number 20-005569-COA, 23 Montgomery Street, ATM installation. Item number three, that's petition of Raymond LLC for the city of Savannah. That's petition number 20-005948-COA, 201 Habersham Street, rehabilitation and brick repointing. You guys scroll for me, please. Thank you. I need you to go back so I can see number four. There we are. Item number four is the petition of GM Shea Architecture. That's Patrick Shea. Petition number 20-006039-COA, 211 East Gaston Street, rehabilitation and rehabilitation alterations and fences. And then item number five is the petition of Peachtree Hotel Group, Russell Perry. And that's petition number 20-006053-COA. At 415 West Liberty Street, alterations and fences.
Jesus.
Wait, somebody, we're going to need you to mute your phone, please. Okay. Now that those items are read and captured for the record, if there's no member of the public or no board member that wishes to have any of those items removed, we'll entertain a motion.
So moved. This is Nancy.
And that's a motion for approval, correct?
Correct.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor.
This is Ellie. I'll second.
Thank you, Ms. Isaacs. So there's a motion on the floor to approve the consent agenda made by Ms. Taylor and seconded by Ms. Isaacs. If there's no discussion on that motion, we'll entertain a vote. And let me see if I have everybody recorded that's in the meeting. But we'll go ahead and start. Let's see. Ms. Isaacs, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Dodge?
Aye.
You? Ms. Memory?
Aye.
You? Mr. Who?
Aye.
Okay. Gotcha. Mr. Who?
Let me see, baby. I don't know
what
this is.
Mr. Who?
Yes, aye.
Thank you. Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Altshuler?
Aye.
Thank you. And did we get any other members to join? Let me look.
This is Stephen. I'm on board.
Okay, Mr. Bodick. Sounds good. How do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, sir. And I think that's it today, right? Yeah, it looks like that's everybody. Okay, so as have it, and the motion to approve the consent agenda passes. Excuse me. Now we'll move on to the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as printed?
So moved. This is Stephen.
You said this is who? Bodick?
Stephen Bodick.
Thank you, sir. Do I have a
second?
Thank you, Ms. Isaacs. All right, motion on the floor to made by Mr. Bodick and seconded by Ms. Isaacs to approve the agenda. Adopt the agenda, excuse me. Any discussion on it? All right. Hearing none. Ms. Isaacs, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you. Mr. Dodge?
Aye.
Thank you. Ms. Memory?
Aye.
Thank you. Mr. Who?
Aye.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor.
Aye.
All right, Mr. Altshuler.
Aye.
And Mr. Bodick.
Aye.
All right, the motion passes and the agenda is approved. Now we move on to the approval of the minutes. Minutes from the previous meeting are attached to the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the December 2020 meeting minutes?
This is Mr. Bodick. I move to approve.
Altshuler.
Mr. Bodick. Mr. Altshuler. All right. Motion is made by Mr. Bodick and seconded by Mr. Altshuler to approve the meeting minutes from the December 2020 meeting. There's no discussion on that. We'll entertain a vote. Ms. Isaacs, excuse me. How do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you. Mr. Dodge?
Aye.
All right. Ms. Memory?
Aye.
Mr. Who?
Aye.
Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Altshuler?
Aye.
And Mr. Bodick?
Aye.
Good deal. Motion passes and the December 2020 meeting minutes are approved. Excuse me. There are no, we'll move on to the items requested to be removed from the final agenda. There are none listed. And we'll move on to the continued agenda. Let's see. These applications have been requested to be continued to the following meeting. I'm going to read those items just for record's sake. That will be the petition of GM Shea Architecture, petition number 17-002122-COA at 602 East River Street, Hotel and New Construction Part 2 Design Details. The petition of Sotil and Sotil, petition number 20-005548-COA at 336 Barnett Street, non-contributing demolition and new construction part 2 design details. And the petition of J. Elder Studio, LLC, petition number 20-006065-COA at 42 East Bay Street, alterations. Okay. Is there a motion to continue the items on the continued agenda?
So moved. This is Nan Taylor.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor.
This is Ellie. I'll second.
Thank you, Ms. Isaacs. All right. We'll entertain a vote. Ms. Isaacs?
Aye.
Thank you. Mr. Dodge?
Aye.
Ms. Memory?
Aye.
Mr. Hull?
Aye.
Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Altshuler?
Aye.
And Mr. Bodick?
Aye.
All right. Motion carries and the continued agenda is approved. We go to the request for extensions. There are none listed. So now we'll move on to the regular agenda. Staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendations. We ask that the petitioner limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address the items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to public comment. The board will then go into board discussion, at which point no further testimony is received unless requested and granted by the chairman. We will structure board discussion by going around to each board member two times for comment. You do not have to provide comments if you do not have any. For the public portion, as a reminder, or if you are first time on the call, what we do is there's a raise your hand feature on the control panel, wherever that may be located on your screen. If you want to speak on a petition, you press the raise your hand feature. And at that time, I will be alerted to your name, and I would then call on you. And then you'll be proceed. We're asked you're going to limit that comment to 3 minutes. All right. So thank you. Let's see. Now, let me see if I can take a look at my agenda. Pardon my technical difficulties for the moment. One second. Thank you.
I show my agenda.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. I appreciate it. All right. Regular agenda. Okay. So we're now called a petition of GM Shea Architecture, petition number 20-002646-COA at 225 East President Street, Restoration Hotel, New Construction Part 2 Design Details. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Leah. Happy New Year, everybody. Today we're starting with a petition of GM Shea Architecture. Petitioner is requesting approval for new construction part 2 design details for a four-story hotel with a basement on the vacant trust lot facing Oglethorpe Square at 225 East President Street. I don't know why, but it says 225 East River right here, but it's 225 East President Street. The new development will expand the program of the existing President's Quarters Inn, which you can see right here. Again, this is the President's Quarters Inn's parking lot currently, and that's the President Quarters Inn. The new building features commercial uses at the ground floor with hotel rooms above. On July 8th, 2020, you all approved Part 1 height and mass with no conditions. And then the last time you all saw this was October 14th, 2020, and you all continued Part 2 design details to this meeting, to the January meeting, in order for the petitioner to consider and provide some information And I'll go through those items. For materials, textures, and colors, So this is their previous finish board here. You asked for several changes to their materials, textures, and colors to provide a physical and accurate cast stone sample. They did provide a physical sample, but it was more representative. It wasn't the actual one that they wanted to use. Reselect the Merlot color to be more visually compatible by adding more black. Reselect the Asia Haze color to be more visually compatible, less green, more gray. Provide a physical teak sample that includes any proposed stain or clear finish, and clarify the proposed use and color for the McNichols wire mesh that was shown on page 30 of the previous of this document here. Number two was if exterior light fixtures are proposed, to provide specifications for review. Three was to reduce the height of the front yard fence. So this is a view on President Street, but you can see the front yard fence that would be facing the square here was proposed to be 5 feet tall. The ordinance allows a maximum of 4 feet for a front yard fence. So there was a condition to reduce that to maximum 4 feet. And then four, which is sort of a standard condition, is that to provide a sample panel per the sample panel policy. So they have provided new information for those conditions from the previous. And so with regard to the part two standards, visual compatibility, and the relationship of materials, texture, and color, here is the revised finish board. I'm going to go over the ones that were revised. So ornamental metal gates, railings, fences, and canopies were revised from Merlot to this polished mahogany color. Window frames and storefront were revised from the Asia Haze, that greenish color, to Link Gray, this color here. Wood handrails, custom doors, wood soffits were revised. Well, it's still teak, but it's with this this darker stain to be similar to the mahogany paint color. So they still did not provide a physical cast stone sample. This is the cast stone that they've chosen. It's the same as last time, but we were looking for a physical sample of this, but otherwise we do feel now that these revised colors and materials as requested are visually compatible. Exterior light fixture specifications were provided. There are three light fixtures. There's this one here, this one, and this one, and staff does determine that the light fixture standards are met, and they did reduce the fence. This is the revised now. So they have, the internet's a little bit slow today, my apologies. But they have reduced the height of this fence to 4 feet. And of course, the sample panel is still a condition of the approval. So staff is recommending approval with the following conditions. I think I forgot to open the, bear with me 1 second. I have to open the staff recommendation. Approval with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for review and approval because the proposed project is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. And that's one, to provide the physical cast stone sample, and two, to provide a sample panel, the sample panel policy. I'll be happy to answer questions. Thank you.
Sorry about that. Thank you, Leah. Any questions for staff? All right. Hearing none, we'll now hear from the petitioner. Please remember to unmute yourself if you've muted yourself.
I think I'm unmuted, am I?
There you are. Thank you.
So, Mr. Chairman, I apologize for the incorrect address there. It is, in fact, on President Street, not River Street. We agree with all the staff's comments and recommendations. I'm sorry we weren't able to get a physical sample of the cast stone, but the manufacturer that we chose was shut down most of the summer and fall due to the COVID, and so fell way behind on the production schedule. But we will continue to work with them to get a sample to staff as soon as possible.
Excellent. Thank you. Anything further? Are you guys good?
We are good, sir.
Good deal. Any questions for the petitioner? Okay. Hearing none. We'll now entertain public comment. Again, if you would use the raise your hand feature on your control panel and wait until you're called upon. We have one so far, Mr. Arve.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. Happy New Year officially to everybody. This is Ryan Arve from Historic Savannah Foundation. And we'll make our comments quick. We again just want to commend and congratulate Mr. Shea and his team for the work on this building and for how far it's come and for how flexible they've been in implementing many of the design suggestions that both HSF and the MPC and the neighborhood have suggested. A few of the comments that I have today are ones that I initially brought up in October during the discussion over height and mass. And there's really just three of them. One pertains to the brick palette, to the color. There's a kind of a, and I mean no disrespect here, there's kind of a corporate feel to the color palette, a kind of a flat a blandness that we're afraid will kind of compromise the aesthetic of the streetscape. You've got a yellow brick building after the 20th century there on the square, and you've got the kind of yellowish stucco of the Owens Thomas. And just aesthetically, our architectural review committee felt that a darker brick, a more traditional red brick, would be more appropriate aesthetically here. We also continue to take exception with the design of the wrought iron Juliet balconies. We feel that there's a almost seaside Florida type character to them. Not that they have to be fancy filigree, not that they have to be Victorian in any means. We're not prescribing specifically, but we don't feel that they are visually compatible. And our last comment is in regards to the rear stairwell. I think we still take exception to the stairwell being on what I can only describe as stilts or piers. Would be very interested to hear Mr. Shea comment on that and why the stairwell wouldn't just come all the way down to the ground. I'm assuming programmatic reasons. In regards to that stairwell, if regardless of what the Juliet balconies, whether they're designed that way or not, would like to see whatever that design is be reflected in that rear stairwell on the York Street side. There's a stairwell that comes down to the courtyard, and it looks a little pedestrian right now, and wondered if Mr. Shea might not consider tying in that balcony design into that handrail, just because it is visible from the public right of way. But though we feel strongly about these are minor concerns. And again, we compliment Pat on a job well done. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Arve. Mr. Rosenwald. Mr. Rosenwald, you may be muted. So check your microphone settings. Okay, you're showing unmuted. We'll come back to you. We're going to give you a chance. We're going to come back to you. We'll move on to Ms. Chastity Malloy.
Good afternoon. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, we can. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Chastity Malloy, I'm representing a member of the public. I just have a question for clarification on the President Street facade of the property. If you're facing south, am I viewing, and the drawing is up right now, so that is actually, there we go. Am I looking at awnings, or are these simply, are these enclosed overhangs? It looks like enclosed overhangs. So there are not any awnings that are protruding out on the President Street side, are they?
No.
Okay. Just wanted to be sure of that because it wasn't very clear in the diagram, but I will say that this is a vast improvement from the initial drawings that were submitted to for review. So I do applaud Gunmeyerhoff and Shea for creating a more adaptable project that is compatible with the surrounding environment. So just really kudos for the work that was done to bring this more in character with the surroundings. That is my comment.
Thank you, Ms. Malloy. We're gonna try Mr. Rosenwald again. Are you there?
Hello, can you hear me now?
Ah, there you are. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I tried the phone. For some reason, my computer didn't work, but thanks. Thanks for coming back to me. I'm Bob Rosenwald. Speaking on behalf of the Downtown Neighborhood Association, I'd like to wish everybody a Happy New Year again. And I would echo some of the comments. First of all, I appreciate the transparency shown by Pat Shea and the organizers. We, of course, generally in the Downtown Neighborhood Association are not thrilled having a new hotel, but we recognize that this is a hotel area by right. And so this one is particularly appropriate for the area. It is it's in keeping in size and compatibility. And we really appreciate how the developer and the architects have reached out to the neighbors to pretty much every step of the way on this. I would echo at least, you know, on the color issue, it would be nice to see, we are not opponents of red brick like some other folks have been here. And some differentiation I think would be useful, and that echo the comments of Mr. Arve. Beyond that, again, we look forward to the construction of this hotel and hopefully an operation that will be good for the tourism industry as well as for the neighborhood. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Rosenwald. It appears that we have no more public comment. If that is indeed the case, we will now allow for the petitioner to respond to public comment. Mr. Shea.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have enjoyed the process of working with Mr. Arve, Historic Savannah Foundation, next to your Chastity's Voice too, and Bob Rosenwald with the Downtown Neighborhood Association. As I said last time, comments are welcomed and well heard. In regards to the brick, I really look forward to the point where we can do the sample panel. It's really much more than that, it'll be a sample small building when that time comes. I look forward to it because I mean the building's under construction But I also look forward to it because, you know, these brick, I think it need to be seen full size and in context with, by then, surely a cast stone sample so that we can see how they work in ensemble. They are a team, and we want to make sure that they all work together well with the other colors. But I duly understood there's a desire for a darker and perhaps redder brick, and that will be considered at that time. And of course, I think the question about the awnings has already been answered. We've been through the wrought iron question before. We have really settled on this. We really like the pattern that we have. We think it relates to the brickwork and some of the other detail. But I did pick up on Ryan's suggestion about perhaps something like that, you know, a variation on the balcony railings ought to be incorporated into the rear stairway that goes down into the courtyard. I'm not sure about it being on stilts, but I will say the reason that you can walk underneath of the stair, you know, is we want as much width and as much space as we possibly can in this courtyard. It's relatively narrow, and the developers have a great desire to make this into a really nice outdoor space that in every way is of surveillance. So we will continue to work for that goal.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Shea. All right. So we will now enter into the board discussion. Again, at this time, we are done receiving a comment from the public. We're going to go around to each board member two times and allow for that comment to be submitted, and then we'll go into a motion and a vote. Okay. We'll start with you, Mr. Bodick.
I don't have a comment.
All right, thank you, sir. Mr. Altshuler.
I want to compliment Mrs. Shea and company for being so transparent in the process and so responsive to our comments. I think we've gotten better and better along the way.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Taylor.
I think the revisions that have been made are appropriate, and I agree with staff's comments for the last remaining two items. That's all.
Thank you. Mr. Hull?
I have no comment.
All right. Ms. Memory.
I agree with staff's comments, and also appreciate the petitioner's willingness to be responsive to our concerns, and no further comments.
Thank you. And Mr. Dodge.
As other members have mentioned, I commend the petitioner for working with the stakeholders, and I agree with staff's recommendations.
Good deal. Thank you. And Ms. Isaacs.
I agree with staff's comments, and then I also would like to reiterate some previous comments that were made by the public regarding the brick tone. I agree that I feel like a red brick would be more appropriate for the area, and less contrasting with the Owens Thomas house and the yellow brick building that's on the corner there. And I still don't 100% feel that the railing is visually compatible with the area, but I also would like to commend the petitioner on how far this design has come. I definitely feel like it has grown a long way since the beginning to a much more visually compatible design. And that's all that I have.
Thank you, Ms. Isaacs. Okay, it seems like most of the board got their comment out, but I will open it up and open the floor up for you guys to go ahead and submit additional comment. If there are more, we'll just ask that you state your name prior to, so that we know who's submitting the comment. And if there are none, then we'll go ahead into a motion and a vote. Any further comment? Okay. So now we'll entertain the motion. Thank you for showing the recommendation, staff.
Mr. Chairman, this is Stan Houle. I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the petition number 2002646 COA at 225 East President Street, as provided the conditions outlined in the staff recommendation are met.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a second?
This is Mr. Bodek, second.
Mr. Bodek. So there's a motion on the floor made by Mr. Houle and seconded by Mr. Bodek to approve the petition, provided that the conditions identified in the staff outline are met. Is there any discussion on that motion? Okay, hearing none, we'll entertain a vote. Ms. Isaacs, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you. Mr. Dodge?
Aye.
Thank you. Ms. Memory?
Aye.
Thank you. Mr. Houle?
Aye.
Thank you. Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
All right, Mr. Altshuler?
Aye.
And Mr. Bodek?
Aye.
All right. The motion carries and the petition is approved with conditions. Move on to the next item on the agenda. I think I might have it. I do. And that is the petition of Asher and Rye, Erica Snade, petition number 20-005951 SCOA, and that's at 346/348 Whitaker Street after the fact alterations.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. This is Aslan, and I will be presenting the petition for after the fact alterations at 346/348 Whitaker Street. The applicant is requesting approval of the infill of openings on the front and side facade, the widening and installation of a commercial storefront door in the window opening on a south facade, installation of a stucco planter box on the front facade, and the cladding of the old pump station concrete pad with the galvanized metal planter. 346/348 Whitaker Street is a non-contributing structure in the Downtown Historic District. This property has applied for and received two COAs in 2020. The first was in August of 2020, and the work approved in the COA included a color change, which can be seen here, the removal of awnings, and the placement of a storefront door in this existing opening, pointed to with the red arrow. The second COA was approved for exterior lighting, which can be seen in this photo. In November of 2020, staff observed that work had been done to the building that fell outside the scope of their previously approved COAs. As soon as they were made aware, the applicant worked with staff to apply for an after-the-fact COA. As I mentioned previously, the after-the-fact work included the infill of the door opening on the front facade, as well as the infill of an air conditioning opening on the side facade, which can be seen here. The infill was completed using cinder block and stucco in white to match the exterior walls, and as you can see, these openings are no longer visible. Due to the presence of storefront glazing and doors on all sides, staff found that the infill of these openings does not disrupt the rhythm of solids or voids that characterize this building, and that the infill of the openings on the front and side facade are visually compatible. Adjacent to the air conditioning opening that was filled on the side facade, a new door opening was created. As you can see here, this was done by widening a previously boarded up window opening. An aluminum storefront door in dark bronze was placed in the new opening to match the existing doors on the front facade of the building. Staff finds that widening of this opening and the placing of a commercial door type inside opening maintains a visually compatible rhythm of entrances and is visually compatible with the commercial character of the property and the surrounding district. Two planters were included in the alterations for this property as well. The first is a stucco planter in white on the front facade of the building, as can be seen here. The second is a galvanized metal planter installed around the old pump station concrete pad, as seen here. Staff finds that the location and configuration of the planters does not significantly alter the scale or massing of the building and finds them to be visually compatible. However, staff does not find that the galvanized metal material for the concrete pad planter is visually compatible and recommends that it be revised to be of a more visually compatible material. So with that, staff is recommending approval of the after-the-fact alterations and installation of planters to the property located at 346-348 Whitaker Street, with the following condition to be submitted to staff for final review and approval because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. And that would be: one, revise the metal planter around the old pump station concrete pad to be of a more visually compatible material. And I open for any questions you may have.
Thanks a bunch, Aisla. Any questions for staff?
This is Mr. Okay. Bodek.
Yes,
curious if staff has an idea about the substitute material for the planter.
We've spoken to Erica about it before, and she mentioned something about perhaps stucco being the more permanent solution here. So she might have something more to say in the petitioner's presentation. But we would find stucco to be more visually compatible as well.
Thank you.
Any further questions for staff? Okay, hearing none, we will now hear from the petitioner. Please state your name for the record.
Hi, this is Joel Snade. I'm here with Erica Snade. We are both husband and wife and co-owners of Asher and Rye. To the point of the galvanized planter, which is a raised perimeter flower bed, it was, in our opinion at the time, a temporary solution for an otherwise area that was a bit of a concern for the life and safety, given the condition of the concrete and the metal that had surrounded it previously. So we're in agreement that a more compatible material will be presented to the board. And we're in agreement that we prefer to, at a later time, come back with the same cinder block substrate or building material along with a stucco finish in the same white paint that was previously approved. Our idea would be to match the height of the band that runs the perimeter of the building, which is seen in the new planter box that was mentioned earlier. We would like to do the same as a means to camouflage and protect that area, as well as create a green space that otherwise does not exist in that area.
I will say too, this is Erica, some of the, like that planter that was added after the fact, it was actually covering up a grinder pump that had been, there was a piece of plywood overhead. So that was our solution to try to make some green space instead of seeing the location of a grinder pump.
Yeah, I mean, it basically acts as a utility yard. So the same thing would apply to the area that you see the galvanized metal, just a means to, again, remedy the area that has otherwise been compromised and is crumbling, and just a means to bring in some, like Erica mentioned, some green space, as well as really being preventative for people crossing over it. I know that it's, you know, sort of painted off with yellow stripes, but like I had mentioned, the striping that you're seeing there, the metal in itself was rusted and was crumbling, and therefore had some sharp edges. So this was a quick Amazon solution to a raised flower bed that I could run around the perimeter at the same size in width and depth. It's just the height varies as well as the material in itself. We're happy to paint it black in the interim. I don't know if there's the ability to have a leeway until we have the financial means to come back, but we can come back sooner rather than later with the suggested design of the cinder block and stucco. One thought we did have is to at least paint it and mask it in black so it relates to the vertical upright and the overhang, so at least it's grounded in the same color.
Okay, thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Snape. We well, I'm sure that solution, that approach will be addressed and mentioned with, amongst the board discussion, so you'll probably get some feedback at that time.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Are there any questions for the petitioner? Okay. Hearing none, we'll go into the board discussion. Public comment. Again, if you would, use the raise your hand feature in the control panel and wait until you're called upon. And we ask that you state your name for the record. Okay, Mr. Arvick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ryan Arve, Historic Savannah Foundation. I want to commend the owners of this property for taking it on and doing what looks to be a very nice job on this project. We don't have any objections to the other changes that were made outside the scope of the project, except to say that we agree with staff's comments on the what we call the pump island, where the corrugated metal currently is. Certainly, without question, that's an element that needed to be dressed up. Obviously, it's not as certainly aesthetically pleasing. Haslin mentioned that this property wasn't currently a contributing structure, but I'm guessing that were it to be resurveyed today, it possibly could be. Haslin, Leah, do you have any input on that?
Haslin, this is Leah. What year was it built?
I believe.
Go ahead. No, please.
I believe the property was constructed in the 50s.
Yeah, we do not have a exact date listed on our contributing map, so that is
how. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So obviously that would require some investigation, but I'm guessing that it's not listed for, there could be two reasons. One, it's still outside the current period of significance, which up for the district, which goes into the 60s. Or two, that doesn't have historic integrity. But, you know, it's for one of those two reasons, certainly.
Sure. And I appreciate you addressing that. And I don't mean in any way to make any big issue out of this. I think our long-term concern is for the fabric of that particular element. And if turned into, a planter, though certainly more aesthetically pleasing, we're just thinking in terms of visual compatibility, in terms of the overall integrity of the building, whatever can be done in the most sensitive means possible, and if possible, reversible, would be our preference in terms of how that element is handled. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Arve. Okay, Ms. Chastity Malloy. Ms. Ms. Malloy, make sure you check your speaker to make sure that your microphone, I should say, to make sure that you're not muted.
I think I'm good now. Thank you so much for the reminder. Hey. What I was stating was that I applaud the petitioners for their work in rehabilitating a structure that was certainly on its way to being a contributing blighting property in the historic district. I personally do not have or take issue with the galvanized metal planter, but I do understand the concerns to make it more compatible with the existing structure, to enclose it with the stucco finish that is seen in the planter adjacent to the property itself. I don't think it's in our interest to sort of nitpick at whether it's a contributing structure or not, because it has been changed and adapted significantly over the years. So my biggest comment really is just to say to definitely bring the galvanized metal planter that is shown at the pump island to make it a little bit more safe for everyone too, more visual, more safe for those who are driving into the area. But additionally, I just really want to applaud everyone for their work and making this more a visually appealing property in the historic district. It's a vast improvement. So thank you to everyone for your work on that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Malloy. It appears to be no further public comment, and if that is indeed the case, we'll now allow for the petitioner to respond to public comment.
I think everything was well said, and we appreciate the feedback. And in return, both Eric and I will wait to hear further comments, but in the interim of that, draft a plan to choose a material like we had suggested earlier with the stucco that'll be more compatible with the building.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. At this time, we'll go into board discussion. Ms. Isaacs, we'll start with you.
I also want to echo some of the things that other people have said about applauding the work that was done on this building. It is a vast, vast improvement to what was there previously. I think that I don't really have a huge issue with the galvanized metal, but I understand where staff is coming from regarding their comments. And that's all. That's all that I have.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Dodge.
I agree with staff's recommendation and have no other comment.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Memory.
I have no comments.
Okay. Mr. Hull.
My only comment is that I agree with staff recommendation, revising the metal planter around that the old pad. I would suggest that maybe it not be as tall as what's against the building wall, more in line with the height is shown there on the metal piece. Other than that, I'm
all right. Thank you. Ms. Taylor?
I'm in agreement with staff's comments. And I also do think that painting it black as a temporary measure is a good idea. I think it would help. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Thank you. Mr. Altshuler.
I have nothing to add. Agree with staff's comments.
All right. Mr. Bodick.
I have no comment.
Good deal. I'll chime in just briefly. I want to reiterate the idea that this is a vast improvement for this location. I was driving down Whitaker Street and saw it and immediately got excited at how refreshed that area looked from this work. So I do want to applaud the petitioner for the work done. And again, I know you guys are specifically looking for maybe some input on the color as a temporary solution for the pump island. As Ms. Taylor stated, I agree. I think a black would work. However, We have to confirm that that will be accepted by staff. And the board can, I mean, if anybody wanted to add that as a condition, then we could, but just wanted to throw that comment out there. All right. So if there are no further comments from the board, if there is further comment from the board, you know, again, we state your name prior to submitting that comment.
This is Melissa Memory. This is for staff. Just because it came up with this, what is the process for considering properties as they come into that 50-year threshold for consideration for eligibility? And is it a formal evaluation of significance and the potential to be eligible?
Sure, this is Leah. So generally the process is that we resurvey every 10 to 15 years and add any properties that are found at that time to be one, within the period of significance, but two, of course, having integrity and contributing to the district. But the last time there was an update was 2000, the survey was done 2010, but the update was adopted in November 2011 by City Council. And that's when all of the mid-century was added, as well as the carriage houses.
So there's been no real formal, I mean, at that time, are all the properties submitted as contributing or non-contributing and concurred, or is there any formal, I guess?
Yes. Yeah, so what happens is when we do that update, the first step when we find, when staff finds, we bring a list to you all that we found that we feel should be added, and you all make a recommendation. And then that recommendation goes to the MPC board, who makes a recommendation to City Council on updating the map to include those. And then City Council has the final say. But also at any time, any human being can apply for a text amendment to add a building as contributing. It would go through the same process. So let's say that I'm going to pick on Mr. Rosenwald just because I know you're here. If he wanted to add this building to the contributing building map, he would apply to the MPC for a text amendment to the ordinance, which essentially is a text amendment to the contributing building map. And then we go through that process, tell you all, you make a recommendation, MPC makes a recommendation, City Council either accepts it as contributing or not. Does that help?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
Okay. Anything further from the board? Okay. Hearing none, we will entertain a motion.
Haslam, can you please show the recommendation?
Can you remind us what the... Yeah, thank you.
Yes, of course.
Oh, yeah, please. Thanks, Leah.
This is Ellie. I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the after-the-fact alterations and installation of planters to the property located at 346, 348 Whitaker Street with the following staff recommendation. I'd also like to include another condition stating that until the planter has been revised to paint the metal planter black. Same black as is located on the building already.
Second.
This is Nan Taylor. Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor and Ms. Isaacs. So we currently have a motion on the floor made by Ms. Isaacs and seconded by Ms. Taylor to approve the petition with the conditions as outlined in the staff review, in addition to the condition of painting the current metal planter the same black as the black on the building that has been previously approved. And yeah, I think that's it. So there's no any discussion on this motion?
Any question?
What do you have, Mr. Bodick?
Just one question. I didn't know what their time frame was for replacing the metal. But if they were going to replace the metal within a short amount of time, I don't know if, you know, maybe the time frame impacts whether or not they should or shouldn't paint the metal black.
From what I gathered from listening to the petitioner's testimony, it seems as if it might take a little bit of time.
Okay, so do we have, we don't have to hold them to a certain amount of time, they just need to get this painted black and then they'll work out the details after, is that correct?
Correct. And okay. as long as the paint is maintained and it's a clean presentation, and I don't think anyone takes exception to that it is clear that that is not the permanent solution. It is the intent for them to come back to this body, whether that be at staff level, if that is possible from a consent agenda standpoint, or that come to us and we review what the final solution is. That is definitely still the intent.
Okay,
and then we may want to, that may be, no problem. We may want to, and I think Ms. Isaacs did say that in her motion, so I may need to restate the motion just to make sure it's clear that it is intended to bring back the final planter or final solution for the pump island. So
yeah,
again,
it's in the staff recommendation that it'll be submitted to the staff for final review.
Okay, let me look at that again. Okay, yeah, exactly. Okay, well, in that case, we're all covered, Mr. Bodick. Okay, so if there's no further question, comment, or concerns about that motion, we'll entertain a vote. We'll start with you, Ms. Isaacs.
Aye.
Thank you. Mr. Dodge.
Aye.
Thank you. Ms. Memory.
Aye.
Mr. Hull.
Aye.
Thank you. Ms. Taylor.
Aye.
Thank you, Mr. Altshuler.
Aye.
And Mr. Bodick.
Aye.
Thank you. And that motion carries and the project is approved with conditions. We'll now move on to the next item on the agenda, and that is the petition of Array Design. Petition number 20-006057-COA, 220 East State Street. New construction accessory dwelling.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Ryan. Good to hear everybody again. This applicant is requesting approval for a second story addition and alterations to an existing one story garage located at the rear of 220 East State Street. The garage will be altered to include one 8-foot wide garage door. To the left, as you see here on the western half, or on the eastern half, sorry, of the first story, to allow for an additional living space within this area for the second story dwelling portion of that. The historic main structure, let me just pull up this. This is the building here that we're in reference to, and the garage in the rear. The historic main structure was constructed in 1893 and is a contributing structure within the district. The garage, however, which is this large space here, and then our property only includes a portion of that, was constructed sometime prior to 1954, because this is the 1954 Sanborn map. We just don't know the exact date it was constructed. The garage in its existing form which is just a one-story garage structure, was at one point included on a large plot of land. You can see this whole lot includes the three townhomes and the six-car garage. The property lines that are drawn at a later date to separate these properties was drawn at a slight angle. So I'm going to pull up the drawings again here. The current property lines do cause the existing garage to sit slightly over the property line into the public right of way on the lane, as well as just slightly over the property line into the neighboring property as well. So you can kind of see that here in this drawing. So that's the existing conditions. And those are about 4 inches over the property line in both spaces. And that again is due to the fact that this was originally one large lot that was separated at one point. The building coverage is in its existing condition at about 78.1%, and that is to remain unchanged. And they are allowed a 100% lot coverage. So I'll add also that the building is only allowed when you have an accessory structure like this, you're only allowed to be at 40% of the habitable floor area of the main structure. This garage in its existing condition is at 43.7, and that again is to remain unchanged. So there's no issue with that. The existing garage structure, like I mentioned, is encroaching on the public right of way approximately 4 inches. And the applicant is proposing the removal of portions of the facade, so a brick veneer that's there, to allow for that structure to be located solely within the property line and not encroached within the public right of way. So they're not changing the footprint, they're just getting rid of a small exterior facade, like a veneer of brick, to allow for this to become within the property line. The existing garage, again, as I also mentioned, encroaches slightly onto the neighboring property as well. So the applicant will need to ensure that they do receive some form of easement from the neighboring property owner in order to receive permit to construct onto that neighboring property. Even though it's 4 inches, they'll still need that requirement there. The existing garage also is within approximately just over 7 feet from the main structure here. They're required to be 10 feet from the principal structure, so the applicant will be required to apply for a variance to the Zoning Board of Appeals for about a 2-foot, 10-inch variance and separation from the principal structure. That separation is an existing condition on the property, as I stated, and will still be in line with the intent of the ordinance. So the separation is to remain unchanged, and staff would recommend to the board that they recommend approval to the Zoning Board of Appeals. Let's go to page 3 here on the drawings. Zoom out. The garage footprint, like I said, is 43% of the floor area. Instead, we have no issue with that because, as you see, the upstairs is to be the exact layout of the bottom level. So there's going to be no change in that. The existing garage structure is non-contributing. Hold on. Let me zoom out a little bit here. The existing garage structure is non-contributing, and the second story will not damage or detract from the historic features and finishes of the contributing main historic building. So all of the Secretary of Interior standards and guidelines for rehabilitation were met as well. I'm looking at the visual compatibility with relationships of the materials here. The existing siding, the exterior siding, is proposed to be a red brick. However, you can see that the applicant has just labeled that the sample is to be submitted for approval. So staff will need those specifications submitted for review and approval. That would be for the brick as well as the mortar. The windows are all proposed to be a Windsor Pinnacle series aluminum clad wood windows. This material is permitted and is visually compatible. Two windows are proposed as accent windows here. Those are proposed to be fixed. The staff is just asking that they ensure that all other windows, other than the exit windows, are operable to meet the standard. The garage door is proposed as a walk-through garage door. It's kind of hard to see in this drawing, but this portion of the garage door will open as a man door. So, and that is to be brown and is to be of a smooth finish. Staff had no issues with that. All of the trim is proposed to be fiber cement board, and all other materials were found to be compatible. These materials here, although they are compatible, staff did not review those. Those will not be visible from the public right of way on this facade here. Mechanical and refuse are all proposed to be in areas that are allowable, and staff had no issues with that either. And they are to have roof-mounted HVAC equipment, but as you can see in these drawings, they're not going to be visible due to the fact that they're behind this parapet wall here. When looking at the variance criteria for that variance in that 10-foot separation, staff found when looking at the general consistency that the 7-foot 2-inch proposed separation would not be injurious or detrimental to public health, and it would be consistent with the intent of the ordinance because that is an existing separation, an existing condition, and it's not proposed to increase at all. It's not proposed to decrease in size. When looking at special conditions, the circumstances for which the petitioner has requested the variance are peculiar to the property and are not applicable to other properties, except for the obvious two next door. And again, that separation is an existing condition, which was not created by this applicant, and the applicant is proposing to utilize an existing footprint. So they're not utilizing the circumstances as a way to ensure some form of financial gain, which is what that requirement asks for. When looking at literal interpretation, staff did not determine that the literal interpretation of the ordinance would deprive the applicant of the rights commonly enjoyed by other properties in the same zoning district. But again, this is an existing condition, so staff didn't have an issue with that. When asking for a minimum variance, staff determined that the applicant is requesting the use of the existing building footprint and therefore are not requesting a new or smaller separation between the two buildings. Therefore, the variance is the minimum necessary to make use of that existing building footprint. I'm going to pull up the recommendation really fast. Staff's recommendation is to approve the petition for the second story addition and alterations to the existing one story garage located at the rear of 220 East State Street with the following conditions, because otherwise the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. The first condition being ensure that an easement agreement is received by the neighboring property owner prior to applying for permits, and two, provide staff with material specifications for the brick and mortar for review and approval prior to submitting drawings to be stamped for permitting. Staff is also recommending approval to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a 2-foot 10-inch variance from the base zoning standard, which would require that 10-foot separation to allow for a 7-foot 2-inch separation between the detached accessory dwelling unit and the principal structure because the variance criteria were met. And I do want to add that we did receive two letters of support for this, one being from the neighboring property at 224 East State Street, as well as 222 East State Street. So they did receive support from both of their neighbors on that large lot that was separated into three. And I do open for any questions.
Ryan, thank you, this Mr. is Jones. I just have a question about the south elevation that faces the courtyard. Are we allowed to comment on that elevation, even though it's not technically seen from the right-of-way?
It's not visible from the public right-of-way, but I'm sure the petitioner would accept comment on that, yes.
Okay.
Any further questions for staff? Okay. Hearing none, we will now hear from the petitioner. And if you would, state your name for the record and make sure that you unmute yourself.
Hello, Ms. Heather. Hi, this is Shauna. Thank you. Staff just unmuted me. Can you hear me?
Yes, and if you would, state your full name, please.
I will. This is Shauna Casera. I am the architect representing the homeowners at 220 East State Street. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, board members, and Ryan. Thank you for that comprehensive explanation. You just went over several of the things on my list here. The two comments that I do want to make are just understanding, if I could ask the board to think about the scale of the surrounding buildings. We have the Gen Library to the north, which is a fairly imposing structure that's built on the lot line of the East Broughton Lane right of way. And then there are two three-story apartment buildings, both to the east of our property and to the west. Thanks, Ryan. Yep. So these pictures help illustrate where we are adding that one story above the garage. It's the garage with the open garage door there on the end. And the total building height from the lane will be 22'8". So we are fairly dwarfed as far as the massing of the other buildings along that lane. Like Ryan explained, we're building up on the existing structure. The challenges that have come into play are based on the fact that the existing garage structure was not built square. So not only is it not square to the property lines, it's not square to anything, really. Sorry, I didn't know if someone was asking me a question.
Mr. Altshuler, can you mute your phone, please, sir?
Sure. Hang on.
There you go, Ms. Cosera.
Thank you. So we are proposing to, A, very important, as Ryan said, keep our new structure out of the right-of-way, so not looking for any encroachment into the public right-of-way, and then B, build our new building to be square, but also to use the existing foundation and the existing framing below. What that results in is an encroachment on the two sides that varies from 3/4 inch to, I believe, the largest encroachment is on the southeast corner of our new garage, and that's up to 6 3/4. Yeah, Ryan, if you would show us that. There we go. So you can see on the east side, we go from, well, it's 2 inches. Oh, Ryan, that's the existing. Will you scroll over to the proposed? There we go. So on the east side, it's 3 inches at the lane and 6 3/4 inches down at the southeast corner. Yes, right there. But keep in mind that that property line also cuts through a demising party wall of the principal structure. So that condition kind of already exists where they're sharing that wall in the main house, and they're also sharing it in the garage because, as you saw, this was one continuous garage structure. Let me see. Regarding the staff recommendation, we had submitted a brick that the staff did not find compatible, and we are more than happy to provide an additional brick and mortar sample. And then regarding these side encroachments, we are in the process of working with an attorney to establish an easement with the adjacent property owners. I've talked to the city of Savannah, and we don't need to go through any city processes. It's just a matter of getting the adjacent owners to agree to a small easement. And lastly, like you saw, we do have approval from the neighbor directly east of us to build the building. So we feel like the easement will also be accepted. And Ryan, thank you for keeping up with me. Those are all of my comments. I am open to your questions.
Thank you, Ms. Cosera. Any questions for the petitioner? All right. Hearing none, we will now enter the public comment section. And again, if you have any comments from the public, we ask that you use the raise your hand feature in the control panel. State your name for the record once called upon. All right, we'll start with you, Mr. Rosenwald.
Yes, Good afternoon again. I'm Bob Rosenwald with the Downtown Neighborhood Association. We don't have any real comments on the structure. Obviously, we think this is certainly a step in the right direction. Regarding the easement, we realize that this one encroaches on a neighboring property and therefore requires an easement for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is probably access so that the building can actually be constructed. We think, and this may not be the right time and place to address it, but I'll do it anyway. We believe that this kind of easement or other formal arrangement with neighbors when there is construction on or near a property line should be a routine requirement when the Historic Review Board is looking into one of these things to prevent neighbor-on-neighbor issues, which we've had plenty of in the historic district, and I think many of you know what I'm talking about. So I would just like to certainly support the easement requirement on this one, and I would like to think would become either an easement or some individual arrangement when construction is on or near a property line that requires access to a neighboring property to construct an adjacent property. So that's pretty much the way we feel. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Rosenwald. We have a Michael Dyke. We have to state your name for the record.
Yes, Michael Dyke here. Can you hear me? I've not done this before.
Yes, sir. We hear you.
Yes. Michael Dyke, we're the owners of 224 East State Street. Ryan showed our letter that we had sent in. I just wanted to confirm. First of all, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. Just reiterate our support for this. We're at 224, so the bookend, the second over, not the middle property, but the last one. And we're here to support this application and only wish we had thought about it earlier. So thank you. Yes, thank you. That's it. We're on that end of the three houses. And we think it's a great idea. It does nothing but add to the alley and the look of this area because, as Ms. Kuchera said, the back alley area is not a visual treat for the eyes. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Chastity Malloy.
Thank you. I muted myself this time. I really want to echo what Mr. Rosenwald said with regards to concern with the easement. Specifically, you know, in my opinion, just the concerns with regards to how this is going to impact the encroachment that currently exists but won't exist when this property is approved, and if that further protrudes or, you know, shows to be an obstruction, the other two units adjacent to it having that encroachment that still exists. My concerns is what is to happen down the road with regard to interest in further development on all of the carriage house facades that face East Broughton Street Lane. So just something to take into consideration if this encroachment, which is coming back, which is scaling back in this case, if that further highlights the encroachment of the adjacent properties and potential construction similar to the one that is being proposed today for the other properties.
Okay. Thank you. It appears that there are no further comments from the public. At this time, we'll allow for the petitioner to respond to public comments.
Okay, thank you. This is Shauna. Thank you, Mike Dyke, for your comments of support. And regarding this easement, Chastity, I'd just like to note that the wall that's going to be built between these two structures, well, between, you know, at the garage between 222 will be a fire rated, you know, potentially shared wall. So if the other two units in these three townhouses wanted to propose construction of something like this, I think that it could be executed very seamlessly and create, you know, a very nice visual landscape along that back alley for all three of these properties. So the encroachment, as you can see, is minimal on that side and would accommodate future building if they decided to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cosera. Okay. We'll now enter board discussion. Mr. Bodick, we'll start with you.
I really don't have any comments. This is pretty straightforward. So that's it. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, sir. Mr. Altshuler.
No further comments.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Taylor.
I don't have further comments, and I support staff's recommendations.
Okay. Mr. Hull.
I support the staff's recommendations for the petition and also the recommendation to the Zoning Appeals Board.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Memory?
No comments.
Thank you. And Mr. Dodge?
No comment other than I agree with staff's recommendation.
All right. And Ms. Isaacs?
No comment.
Okay. Thank you. If there are any further comments from the board, we ask that you state your name before you make your comment. And if there are none, we'll entertain a motion. Let me just state that in this motion, we do have to make a recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals. And you can include that in your motion, or you can do it separately, however you choose.
Mr. Chairman, this is Stan Hull. I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the petition 2000657 COA at 220 East State Street, provided the conditions outlined in the staff recommendations are met. Further, I recommend approval to the Board of Zoning Appeals for the variance for the 2.2-foot 10-inch variance from the base zoning standard.
Right, do we have a second?
It's Mr. Bodick. I'd like to second.
Mr. Bodick. So there's a motion on the floor made by Mr. Hull and seconded by Mr. Bodick to approve the petition with conditions. I mean, provided the conditions outlined in the staff recommendations are met, as well as recommending approval to the Zoning Board of Appeals for the variance because it meets the standards. Then discussion on that motion. Hearing none, we'll go into a vote. Ms. Isaac, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you. Mr. Dodge?
Aye.
Thank you. Ms. Memory?
Aye.
Thank you. Mr. Hull?
Aye.
Thank you. Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
Thank you. Mr. Altshuler?
Aye.
And Mr. Bodick?
Aye.
Good deal. Motion carries and the project is approved with conditions as well as a recommendation for approval has been made to the Zoning Board of Appeals. Okay. We'll now go to the next item on the agenda. And that is the petition of Core Design Plus Architecture, Tim Kinsey. And that petition number is 20-005992-COA. At 14 East Broader Street, alterations and size.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. This is Olivia Arfuso. I will be presenting the petition for alterations and sign face changes at 14 East Broughton Street. So just to provide you with some context, the building was constructed in 1920, but it is listed as a non-contributing structure due to the severe alterations that have been made to the exterior of the building over the years. Therefore, it was previously determined that the building no longer retains its historic integrity. The proposed alterations include the removal of the aluminum storefront and corrugated metal bulkheads. The storefront and entry will be replaced with a painted mahogany or similar hardwood storefront and trim that matches the neighboring property, 16 East Broughton Street. The wood trim is proposed to be painted urbane bronze. The windows will have laminated impact glass, and the entrance doors will also be wood and glass. The exterior facade of the building will be cleaned and, if necessary, painted to match the existing color or repointed, but no further specifications were provided to staff. The graphic squares on the facade of the building are to be removed, along with the cast iron decorative panel that is attached to the wall underneath the copper entrance canopy. The copper roof on the entrance canopy will be cleaned. Any damaged copper flashing, gutters, and downspouts will be repaired. The existing roof, mechanical equipment, and ductwork will also be disposed of, and a new TPO membrane roof and flashing will be installed. The orange pre-existing window awnings on the second and third stories are proposed to have the fabric replaced with Herculite Natura high performance awning fabric in a dark gray color called charcoal gray. This fabric has been deemed visually compatible and appropriate for use in the Savannah Historic District by the Historic District Board of Review. The existing internally lit signs are proposed to have face changes and be relit. The under canopy sign is proposed to have the sign panel replaced with new graphics. The vertical projecting wall sign is also proposed to have the painted plexiglass lens inserts replaced. The new letters will spell out liquor. A graphic of a wine barrel will be included in the bottom letterbox with a small text box underneath that reads beer, wine, and cigars. The new letterboxes are proposed to have yellow backgrounds and black text. The sign wall post will also be repainted with black epoxy. So staff recommends approval for the exterior alterations and sign face changes at 14 East Broughton Street, with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for review and approval, because otherwise the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. One, ensure that if repointing is necessary, material specifications for the mortar are provided to staff for review and approval prior to the commencement of work. Ensure that the pre-existing openings are not altered in any way. Ensure that all glass is transparent with no dark tints or reflective effects. Ensure that the locations, sizes, support materials, and configurations of the pre-existing signs are not altered in any way. If changes are to be made, ensure that a certificate of appropriateness for the new signs are submitted for review and approval prior to the installation. Ensure that all mechanical equipment is screened from any public right-of-way, and if the locations of the equipment are to change, provide staff with the new locations for review and approval prior to installation. Thank you, and I now open for any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Arfuso. Are there any questions for staff? Uh, Cool, making it easy. Okay, well, now we're now here from the petitioner. And if you would, state your name for the record. And ensure that you're not muted.
All right, this is Tim Kinsey. Can you all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thanks, Olivia, for that presentation. I need to, I guess, clarify the opening sizes that we're discussing here on the second item. The storefront's constructed out of aluminum, we're proposing to go to mahogany storefront assembly. And to try to keep the same openness of a storefront assembly, I think would be challenging, if not look really bad. So we're trying to mimic the wood storefront look of the neighbor next to us. And so in that assembly, or in that elevation, you know, we already have a window display, you know, with the formal orders of a window box, the bulkhead at the bottom, the actual window, and then the cap at the top. We want to maintain that for our main window display. I don't think we'll have any issues with that. But when we move to the left and we see our entrance, we have a pair of 3-foot doors that are 6'8" tall. And then we have this little bit of a glass transom light above it. And then we have these side lights of storefront either side. I would propose we take away these the pair of doors and go to a 42-inch wide door and make it 8 feet tall. And that would proportionally fill this entrance and then reserve in my drawing, you'll see it's in the to the left of the entrance would be just another window display like we have. There you go. So it kind of balances the entrance. The recessed entry would remain. We wouldn't change the actual line delineation of entry. That stays where it's at. We would just propose that entry storefront allow for this configuration. And I think, you know, given the wood details of this, you know, of how you build these type of doors, I think it looks better in this proportion. If we start breaking it up, it's just going to look bad, and then I think, you know, it's you know, this doesn't look good. Any comments?
Well, Mr. Kinsey, this is Dwayne Stevens, Chair. I'm actually happy that you clarified that, because I was absolutely stumped as to how you guys were going to achieve not modifying those openings at all with this different type of construction. As you stated, storefront construction is just, you know, from the sheer size of the material themselves, I mean, there would have been no way to build it out the way that you're doing it or proposing to do it and maintain those items. I guess my only question is, in the initial bay where the door and that storefront frame is that where that brick comes in between? Is that existing?
Yes, sir. That brick is there right now, and it would stay there.
Yeah. Okay. So the brick beyond, between the right side of the storefront and the door that's currently there.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Okay. But thanks for that clarification. Again, I was confused and was trying to understand how you guys were going to propose to achieve that, but I understand now. Thank you. Are there any questions for the petitioner?
This is Nan Taylor. I have a question either for the petitioner or for staff. Is there, maybe I'm missing this in the documents, is there a straight on picture just like the one we're looking at right now of what it looks, a picture of existing? I saw the one that's kind of from an angle like that. Yeah, I just.
Okay.
That helps a little.
Can that be enlarged at all or no? Thank you.
So now that we have this image, because I knew this was the civvy space, but I couldn't remember. Ms. Taylor, were you done? I didn't mean to jump in.
Yeah, I think so. So it just to clarify, it appears that what they're proposing is just to have the single door, which would be on the right side, and then the left side then would be just the one picture window. So the big opening will not be altered. It's just that it's going to be divided differently. Is that correct?
Okay. That's correct. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you.
I think this clarifies for me as well. The right storefront window being proud of the other storefront and door assembly. Okay.
Correct.
All right. Any more questions for the petitioner? All right. Thank you, Mr. Kinsey. Hearing none, we'll go ahead and move into the public comment. Again, if you would raise your hand, use the raise your hand feature and then wait until you're called upon. Ms. Malloy.
Good evening again, Chastity Malloy. A question for clarification. Is the signage that is currently seen now being adapted to say the words liquor?
Yes, ma'am. On the vertical wall sign?
Yes, that's going to say liquor.
Yes.
Okay. My concern really is not so much as the building design. I recall I've been here for 17 years in Savannah, and I recall the sort of battle to get that signage approved that stated the name of the business. Why can't this state the name of the business? I think having the words liquor spelled out so dominantly on Broughton Street it's an appalling visual, personally, and it sends the wrong tone to a predominant street that is frequented by families. And I just don't understand why, and it has not been addressed thus far, that can't state the name of the business. Why does it have to say liquor in such a very dominant manner?
This is Leah. I'm just gonna butt in here real quick and double check, but Ms. Everett, I believe you're on, and does that fall under freedom of speech that we can't tell them what that can say, or am I not interpreting that correctly?
It's not a freedom of, I'm sorry, had my mask on because someone was about to come into my office. It's not a freedom of speech issue in terms of it has to comply with the sign ordinance. And that's the only thing that I would be concerned with. But we can't necessarily tell them how it should read unless it doesn't comply with the sign ordinance.
Yeah, the sign ordinance doesn't have any restrictions on language except for profanity.
Profanity, correct.
I appreciate you all taking the time to clarify that for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Malloy. Any more comments from the public? Okay, seeing none, would the petitioner like to respond to public comments?
As far as the sign goes, I realize that, if we're gonna state the business name, the owner is still working through branding right now, and I know we've registered the name of Broughton Street Liquor, so that is what we're working with. So that's the best I can go, as far as answering for the client, as far as what letters go inside those boxes. I really thought if we could look at different options. The only thing that happens then is we start working and going through other approvals, and really it's the owner's you know, desire to open up for business as soon as possible. And in order to do that, we have to get our building permits. And this is our first, you know, step to get our building permit. So we really didn't want to create too many obstacles to get the doors open. And in doing so, you know, we're going to obviously have to do it at a later date with the sign permits and stuff. But we do plan, you know, like I said here, with this, you know, at least giving the street appearance, you know, just giving everything a clean look, cleaning up the building, putting fresh materials out front, and especially addressing that storefront was our priority. As we are working through this, we recognize that we'd like to change out these lenses. And so that's what we're doing.
Thank you, Mr. Kinsey.
Yep.
We'll now go into board discussion. We'll start with you, Ms. Isaacs.
Okay, I have a question, I guess, which has probably already been said. I just want to clarify that the sign is going to have to go through a different application process anyway, correct?
No, they're applying for a sign phase change right now, right here with you all.
Okay, gotcha. So it's all included. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So I don't have any issue with the storefront alterations or design, but I have to echo what Chastity stated about having a huge sign that says liquor. I don't feel like that is appropriate or visually compatible, I guess, with the other businesses that are on that street. But other than that, that's the only comments that I have.
Mr. Dodge?
Again, no comment other than I agree with staff's recommendations.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Memory?
I agree with staff's recommendations.
Thank you. Mr. Hu?
Recommendations.
Thank you. Ms. Taylor?
I agree with staff's recommendations as well.
Thank you. Mr. Altshuler?
I agree as well.
Thank you. Mr. Baldy?
Mr. Stevens, I just want to be clear that the content on the sign is outside of our review.
Correct. It is outside of our purview. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, staff. You can...
I just wanted Pam to clarify again, the sign ordinance doesn't, you know, exclude language. So it would be just operating under the, I guess, this sounds weird, constitution. So Pam, could you clarify, please?
And if you could ask the question again, so that I can understand what you're, because you guys don't want them. You said the word liquor was too large, correct?
No, I don't.
It's not a fact.
This is Mr. Bodek. I didn't say that at all. I'm just want to clarify that is outside of our discussion here. Because it's been brought up, but I don't think it really fits in with our evaluation. So I want to make that clear.
Yeah, the content. Sorry about that, Mr. Bodek.
That's okay.
No, yeah, the content of the sign itself is outside of our purview unless there was an issue of profane verbiage. Our purview is strictly to state whether it's visually compatible and or it meets the sign ordinance from a size standpoint and all of the other criteria that's identified within the sign ordinance. Outside of that, what is stated, the verbiage that is on the sign is outside of our purview yet again. It is a point of discussion. And that is perfectly fine if it's a point of discussion. However, we cannot make our decision based on that. We could offer it up as a suggestion, but it cannot be grounds for our determination of approval, denial, or continuance.
Thank you for the clarity.
Absolutely. Any further discussion?
Can I just, I just want to clarify then, back to that storefront, is the design that I've proposed, is that acceptable to move forward?
Can you say that again, please?
Is this design acceptable, the storefront?
Mr. Kinsey, I didn't realize that was you speaking at this. I mean, right now we're in the board discussion and we technically cannot, procedurally, we cannot allow for any other further comment.
I'm sorry, I thought you asked the question.
No. But once the determination and the motion is made, that will allow for you to know whether or not that the board deems it acceptable or not. And I mean, it seems as if, and just you know, as a courtesy, it seems as if, based off of the board discussion thus far, it does seem as if people are amenable because they, I mean, the board members are amenable to the design, considering that they have mostly stated that they are agreeable with staff's recommendation. So I think you're in pretty good shape, but I will allow for that to be determined once a motion is made.
I was going to say, this is Nan Taylor, and I'd like to make a motion.
Thank you.
I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the petition number 2000-05992-COA at 14 East Broughton Street, alterations and signs. Provided the following conditions outlined in the staff's recommendations are met, because otherwise the work is compatible and meets the standards.
It's Mr. Bodak, a second.
All right, so we have a motion on the floor made by Ms. Taylor and seconded by Mr. Bodak to approve the petition with conditions as outlined in the staff review. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, if I want to put some food for thought out there for the board, please be mindful that in line item number 2 in the staff recommendations, it is calling out for the pre-existing openness to not be altered in any way. However, please be mindful that when based off of the earlier discussion, based off of the material change and the construction methods that would be that required to apply the new proposed material, that there would be some level of altering. So I wanted to just put that out there for food for thought as to whether or not this is the way we want to proceed with this motion. If your motion stands, but I wanted to at least allow for the petitioner to achieve what was drawn and considering that, if that is indeed the board's desire.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that staff condition was referring to the masonry openings. I guess it should have said that, because that's what we were reviewing, was what was going in the masonry openings. So maybe just a clarification in that, ensure that the pre-existing masonry openings are not altered, maybe. I don't know, but okay. But that's what we were getting to there.
Okay, sure. Gotcha.
Yeah, this is Nan Taylor. And if we need to alter that wording that says to ensure that the pre-existing brick openings are not altered in any way, perhaps that would answer that issue.
Would satisfy that. Okay. So so you want that to be your amendment, say, okay, we want to, you guys would like to approve with the conditions, changing the verbiage in line item number 2 to ensure that the pre-existing brick openings are not altered in any way. Is that acceptable for you, Ms. Taylor?
Correct.
Does anybody, can we get a second on that amendment?
Mr. Bodak, I'll second that.
Okay, so there's a motion on the floor to amend the motion, the previous motion, to state that move to approve the petition with conditions, editing line item number 2 to state that they ensure that the pre-existing brick openings / bays are not altered in any way, and ensure that all of the glass is transparent with no dark tints or reflective effects. And that motion to amend that was made by Ms. Taylor and seconded by Mr. Bodick. Any discussion on the amendment? Okay, if there's no discussion on the amendment, we'll vote on that amendment. Ms. Isaacs?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Dodge?
Aye.
Ms. Memory?
Aye.
Thank you. Mr. Hull?
Aye.
Okay. Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
All right. Mr. Altshuler?
Aye.
Thank you. And Mr. Bodick?
Aye.
Okay. So the motion on the floor is still made by Ms. Taylor and seconded by Mr. Bodick is to approve with conditions and change with the condition number 2 reading to ensure that the pre-existing brick openings/bays are not altered in any way, and ensure that all glass is transparent with no dark tints or reflective effects. All other conditions that were stated in this motion remain the same based upon staff's recommendations. Okay, if there's no discussion on that motion, now we'll entertain the vote. Ms. Isaacs?
Aye.
Thank you. Mr. Dodge?
Aye.
Ms. Memory?
Aye.
Ms. Hull? Mr. Hull, excuse me.
Aye.
Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Altshuler?
Aye.
And Mr. Bodick?
Aye.
All right, the motion is approved. The motion passes and the project is approved with conditions. Okay, and I think, let me get back to my agenda. It appears that was the last item on the regular agenda. Yes, it was. So we'll go into the approved staff reviews. Hold on 1 second. A list of the staff reviews have been attached to the agenda. I will read these items, these petitions, and then we will vote on that, and then we'll proceed with the rest of the agenda. The first item is Metal Crafts Allen Lancaster, 207 West York Street. Petition number 20-005565-COA, roof replacement. The next line item is the professionals, Lance Perlman, 1 West Jones Street. Petition number 20-005848-COA, repairs. Excuse me. The next line item is Jacqueline Mason, 114 East Gaston Street. Petition number 20-005953-COA, repairs. Next line item, Lynch Architects and Associates, Mariel Hamer at 301 West Bay Street. Petition number 20-005990-COA, windows and doors. Staff, if you would start scrolling for me a little bit, that'd be greatly appreciated. Line item number 19, that is the petition of Custom Building Developments, Diedrich Cody at 424 Price Street. Petition number 20-006071-COA, color change and window replacements. Next line item is Dorman Construction, Susie Bull at 205 West Jones Street. Petition number 20-006271-COA, amend doors. Next line item is Mapa Realty, Donna Boyles, address 118 East Jones Street. That petition number is 2006286-COA, Reed Point Chimney. And then finally, let's hope I get his name right, Thomas Kaska. And that is 439 Barnard Street Upper. Petition number 20-006381-COA, color change door. We will now entertain a motion and a vote, a motion and a vote, yes.
So moved. This is Nan Taylor.
Okay, you're making a motion to approve, Ms. Taylor?
Correct.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
And who's the second?
Thank you, Mr. Hull. All right, there's a motion on the floor made by Ms. Taylor and seconded by Mr. Hull to approve the approved staff reviews. Any discussion on the motion? Okay. Hearing none, we'll entertain a vote. Ms. Isaacs, how do you vote?
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Dodge?
Aye.
Okay, Ms. Memory?
Aye.
Mr. Who?
Aye.
Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Altshuler?
Aye. Aye.
And Mr. Bodick?
Aye.
Thank you. All right. Motion carries and the approved staff reviews are approved. Okay. Now we go on to the work performed without a certificate of appropriateness. Attached is a report regarding work begun without a certificate of appropriateness, which deviates from the prior approval. You can review that at your leisure. And we go into the next item, report on items deferred to the staff. Attached is a report regarding deferred to staff, such as conditions stipulated by board decisions and current status reports and ongoing projects. You may review that at your leisure. We go into the notices and proclamations. There are none identified. There is no other business identified. And we're going to the adjournment. Next regular HDBR meeting is February the 10th, 2021. And if there is no other discussions, when we will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you much. So therefore, meeting is adjourned. Congratulations, Ms. Isaacs, on finishing your first board meeting as the vice chair. And hopefully 2021 brings us a good year on the HDBR.